A little later on the show, we will have the amazing, fascinating Charlene Reeve sharing her spiritual path to financial abundance. But first,
you really can have it all, but all, but all, but all, but all, but all. Welcome to Having It All, featuring experts and pioneers in health, wealth, relationships, and spirituality, creating a healthier, wealthier, happier you. And now, here's your host, the Miracle Mama, Marbeth Dunn.
Wow. Having it all is all about health, wealth, relationships, and spirituality, living an abundant life, whatever that means for you. We are spiritual beings inhabiting these wonderful physical bodies. Lately, I became aware of a couple of body-related issues. The numbers on the scale have been inching up, and my clothes have been getting tight. I've been doing Pilates a couple of times a week, watching my food intake, but it wasn't enough. So I joined a gym. I don't get very excited about exercise. I do it. I feel better after I do it. And I love feeling an increase in my strength, energy, and endurance. But it's not really one of my greatest loves. And I'm a Kundalini yoga instructor. I had to ease my way into this. It took a couple of weeks to even get me to the gym. So last Friday, I went to what I thought was a yoga class at the gym. It turned out to be Mat Pilates, and it was tough. It was really tough, and I was so proud that I did it all. And the next day, I did power yoga. It used a bunch of the same moves from the day before, and I felt muscles I did not know I had. Now, you're probably wondering, where am I going with this? I'm talking about committing to a process. It was raining so hard today, but I was committed to at least 30 minutes of exercise. I didn't go to the gym, but I jumped on the treadmill. Well, I ran on the treadmill for a half hour and worked up a sweat, and I didn't force myself to do anything I didn't want to. I joined the gym, but I didn't commit myself to a workout schedule until I was ready, and it felt right. I knew that if I forced myself into a discipline before I was ready, I was doomed to fail. I also allowed myself the option of doing different kinds of exercise, jumping on the rebounder, hula hooping, walking in the park, or running on the treadmill, walking on the treadmill, to mix in with the heavy-duty classes. In my 21-day miracle challenge, I teach my students that as long as you're committed to moving forward toward creating a life filled with miracles, you don't need to be rigid. The important thing is to move forward toward your goal with love and acceptance. If you feel overwhelmed or pressured to do what you don't enjoy, you'll probably trigger your resistance and sabotage your best efforts. I also find it so important to celebrate the wins. I was so excited to complete the classes. It inspired me to think bigger, made me feel like I was well on my way. Now tonight, Charlene Reeves will be sharing with us her spiritual path to financial abundance, and I'm pretty sure it involves discipline and thinking bigger. So be sure to call in with your questions at 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. Charlene Reeves is the world's business success coach and massive visibility media trainer. She is an international speaker, author, and show host with over 330 YouTube business training and blog videos. Wow. And entrepreneurs seek her out for her transformative business knowledge, intuitive step-by-step program development, and pricing skills, confidence building, media training, and marketing visibility. Blending her 28 years of business expertise, financial know-how, and the universal laws, she teaches the highest level techniques she uses to build her own businesses. Entrepreneurs looking for hows to increase their income love her heartfelt, authentic teaching style. And I'm so excited. I love your heartfelt, authentic teaching style too, Charlene. Welcome to Having It All.
Thank you so much, Marbeth. I'm really excited about being here with you today. You know how much I adore you. So this is really an honor. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed being on your show, Ascended Masters at Work, a couple of weeks ago so much. I just could not wait to have you on the show.
Well, it's always good when we can share our audiences, right?
Oh, absolutely. Well, we both are spiritual teachers and we come at it a little differently and we bring different things to the table. And I think we work well together.
We do, absolutely.
So why don't you tell our listeners how you came to be the amazing financial guru that you are today?
Well, that's a really good question. Thank you for asking that. I am a certified financial educator, one of only 253 in the nation. And I've just always been in the financial side. And at one point, I bootstrapped, means I had zero money. Have you ever had that experience where you didn't have a dime?
Oh, yeah. I was down to $6 and one plane ticket when I was in Haiti in the beginning. Oh, yeah.
I didn't even have a plane ticket. I had 15 cents and some rice and beans. And I was hanging out on the beach. So I took it from zero to multi-millions. And I had that company for 17 years and built it nationwide with 23,000 people working under me. And, you know, we all had that hard time in 2007, 2008. I love it. The further it gets away, you know, it sounds further and further away. But in October 2010, it finally caught up with me and all the people across the nation. And they were like family to me. I hung on as long as I could. But then my orders went from 90 a day to 6 just overnight. And I decided, time to let this thing go. And I'd paid everything off. And so it was a C corporation. So before I closed it down, I made sure to pay all my leases and everything because I didn't want anybody chasing me around. So at that point, I thought, what am I going to do now? And I just leapt first, you know, feet first into becoming a financial educator because I recognized that there were so many people that were lost, confused, and scared because they'd lost everything that they owned. And that's how I got into this.
Wow. I think it's so interesting that you were there for 17 years and I was in Haiti for 17 years.
Wow. That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And I wasn't making millions there, though.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, you have to grow it and you have to have faith that that's what you're going to do. And you just set it in your mind. And, you know, some people tell me, well, you don't know you can fail. And I think that's that's what makes it all work for me is because I don't know I can fail. I just have such a strong belief that whatever I decide to do, I'm going to get there. And then I just take one step at a time to get to where I want to go. So that's how I got to where I am today.
That is awesome. So you feel that having a strong belief and really knowing that you're going to get there was going to pull you into creating what you want.
Right. I stood, you're going to love it when I tell you this story. I stood in front of a dumpster at one point, and at my lowest point, I had two small children, very small. And I thought, how am I going to feed these kids? And I was just standing there watching these people doing this dumpster diving, and they were going in for watermelons that the grocery store had been throwing out. And everybody took their turn going in to get a watermelon. And I was thinking, why can't one person go in and just hand all the watermelons out? I mean, was just, and then I thought, wow, that really tells me how I think compared to the other people that are doing this dumpster diving thing. And I never brought myself to do it because as I was standing there holding my children's two little tiny hands, I got this message that said, you know, you don't need to do this. Just get a job and go get food stamps. And that's exactly what I did. And the thing is, Marbeth, I think that you can either believe you're poor or believe you're rich, because either way, you're going to be right. It's all in your belief system.
Absolutely. I'm with you 100% on this. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So is this an element of your five steps to financial freedom?
Well, it's actually the overall element, because our financial well-being is all, it starts in our head. And whatever we say, whatever we think, whatever we put out there is exactly what we manifest. So I could have stood in front of the dumpster and claimed that I was poor, but I thought that's of no benefit. That's not going to get me anywhere. And I'd come from an extremely wealthy home where I was with my ex-husband. And I never thought of myself as being poor. And it's when you think you are that you become it. So whatever you think you are, it's what you become in the long run, because that's what you put out into the universe, and the universe wants to make you happy. So if you say you're poor and you repeat it enough times, or I hear people all the time saying they're broke, or I hear them saying that they don't have any money, they can't do the things they want. That's why it's because they keep saying it. They keep thinking it. They keep reminding the universe that that's exactly what they believe.
Absolutely. And truthfully, I have never said that.
Yes. So I have to say cancel, cancel, cancel for that example.
No, you're not in that vibration. It's not going to happen.
Anyway, so I think we just have to be really careful about the words we use and what we think about ourselves. So we have a choice. We can either think we're rich or we think we're poor, but either way, we're right. It's all up to us. And the thinking process is a huge part of this.
Yeah, it's a huge part of this. So what are some of your other steps?
Well, the first step is really cash flow. You always got to make sure that you have cash flow. If you don't have cash flow, you can't put gas in your car. You can't eat. You are going to end up living on the beach. So you have to find some way to generate cash flow. And some people will tell me, oh, I don't want to get that kind of job, or I don't want to get this kind of job. Well, sometimes you have to get a job you don't really like. Just know in your mind that it's only temporary to create cash flow. And sometimes, you know, I work with entrepreneurs all the time. I teach them how to become massively visible and how to sell their programs. And they don't have a dime. They've spent so much money on business cards and their website and whatever else. They don't have any money. And so I just tell them, don't worry about what the job is. It's only temporary. Just get some cash flow coming in so you don't feel so restricted. And you've got gas and you've got food on the table. And that's really very comforting just to know that you have that. So if they say, oh, you had to get a J-O-B. Have you heard that before, Marbeth?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. And a J-O-B is not so bad. It can really save you. So look at it as a temporary thing that just brings you income so you can eat. So that's step one.
Okay. And you know, I wanted to interject with that. When I've been, I was living in Haiti, and there was a lot of political turmoil, a lot of unrest. There were no tourists, and I had a tourist-based business. And I just, you know, I just put my trust in spirit, mm-hmm. that I knew I was covered, and I was. You know, people showed up out of the blue. Yeah. Ordered my art. I had an art business. And I think that's really an important element of it too.
Yes, it is. It is. It's all, spirit is wrapped around this whole thing. No matter what we're thinking about. And if we just decide we're going to get a job and we want income, and we keep saying, I want income, not I need it. Or you can say, I already have it. I've got $100,000 coming to me. I don't know how, but I've got it coming. No matter what, I've got it coming, and I'm going to take the first step to make it happen. And if taking that first step means you got to get a job, then by all means, do it. But you got to show the universe that you want what it is that you want. And you can only do that by jumping in.
That's true. I totally wholeheartedly agree with that. You totally need to jump in wholeheartedly.
Yes, absolutely. So step number two is proper protection. When we have cash flow and we're doing well, we need to have that proper protection. Whatever that is, it's going to be insurance, it's going to be medical insurance, it's going to be long-term care, anything to do with protecting that cash flow that you've got coming in. Because if you have some kind of a medical situation, or you have something that causes you to spend a lot of money or go bankrupt, then your cash flow is all for naught, because you're not going to have anything then. That's when you end up living under a bridge. So you want to protect that cash flow that you have, and that's your proper protection.
Good point.
And then the third one is debt management. And I don't know if you have the experience, Marbeth, that I do with people running up their credit cards and buying big screen TVs and new cars when they just finished paying off a car. I don't understand that way of thinking. I think they get into a habit of paying a car payment, and when they pay it off, they go get a new one, because then they can make the car payment again. They don't think about the fact that they just put $250, $300 back in their pocket. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So you really have to watch how much your actual debt is every month. It's not about the incidentals that you spend on. It's what is it every month that comes out of your checking account? What are you agreeing to? And I had this friend, can I tell you a quickie story?
Of course.
Okay. I had this friend over in Maui, and she used to sit all afternoon after she took her walk and went swimming, and she was retired, and she went swimming in the ocean and hung out with the whales and all of that. And then she'd go back to her house and sit and watch the shopping channels.
Oh, no.
Yes, absolutely. And she would just buy, and she'd put everything on payments. She never took into consideration what the cost was ramping up to over time. And the interesting thing is, she never even opened any of these things. She had a special room just for all these boxes. And she ended up divorced because her husband couldn't handle it anymore. And he couldn't even get in the door from all the stuff that she bought and never even looked at. But the worst thing is, she didn't add up how much she was spending on each one of those things every month. And it took them under. It was horrible to watch.
Oh, and I'm sure her husband was paying the bills, and she probably had nothing to do with it, so she wasn't aware of anything.
Right, except for what was in that room. I mean, at some point, she had to know that she couldn't get the door open.
One would think. Yeah.
So think about that debt management and how much you're ramping up every month. And whatever that is, you better be able to cover it or pay off that credit card every month. And the other thing is, if you are going to use a credit card and you have a business, make sure that you have a credit card specifically for your business and one for you personally. Do you know why that is, Marbeth?
Why don't you tell us? It makes it easier to manage the money, I'm sure.
Well, that's one thing. But the other thing is, if you get audited for your business, they can't go into your personal. If you get audited for your personal, they can't go into your business. It stops there. But if you have a slush fund going back and forth, they can go anywhere they want.
Oh, okay. Brilliant.
Yeah. So you always want to make sure that you have separate accounts. Even your checking account should be separate from your personal checking account. And
well,
I
knew about the accounts. I didn't know about the credit cards, but that makes total sense.
Yeah. And I just got audited for my business for 3 years. And they could have gone into all my personal if I hadn't kept it separate. And I'm proud to say I didn't owe them a dime. I'm an open book.
Oh, I love that. That's wonderful. I think it's time that we have a break.
Okay,
but when we come back, maybe we can talk about how your students and the Art of Selling with Heart course sold so much money.
Okay.
Wow.
Oh,
yeah.
Do that.
That's amazing. So we'll talk about that right after our break. Is the daily grind getting you down? How would you like to trade in your stress and struggle for peace, love, abundance, and joy? I'm Marbeth Dunn, the Miracle Mama. Even if you are struggling in your relationships, health, or peace of mind, you can have it all. Don't waste another day. Learn my simple secrets to eliminate stress and struggle in my free report, 7 Easy Steps to Harness the Power of Miracles. Go to miracles101.com to get your free report today. That's miracles101.com. Well, we are back. And I don't know if we actually finished with your five steps to financial freedom. I don't think we did.
Well, we have two more.
Okay.
That's what you call committing to a process, right?
I knew you'd enjoy that.
So step number four is an emergency fund. Once you have your cash flow and you're protected and you're finally managing your debt, that's when you start to create an emergency fund, because emergency funds can save you a great deal of money. And what I mean by that is, not too long ago, I had a woman that worked for me, and she walked in the door and she said she was so hot and she'd been trekking up this hill in her high heels, no less. And she said to me, "I need you to take me to the car rental." And I said, "Well, what's happening? Where have you been?" And she said, "Well, my car broke down 3 blocks down the hill, and I had to come up here and ask for some support because they're going to haul the car away." And I said, "Okay, so what are you going to do?" You know, and she said, "I don't know. I'm so stressed because now I'm going to have to pay for the tow guy, and I'm going to have to pay for my car to sit in the mechanic's yard until I get enough money so that I can pay to have the car fixed. And now I have to rent another car, which means I have to pay for the insurance on that car. And it's going to cost me a fortune." And I said, "Well, yeah, because if you have no emergency fund to kick that in, all she would have had to do was pay the mechanic and the tow truck. And if she'd had AAA, she wouldn't even have that." So she ended up paying for 5 other costs that she wouldn't have had to pay for if she had had an emergency fund. So try to put at least 10% into an emergency fund out of every check that you get, so that you're always protected and you don't end up paying 5 times as much for something that you could have paid for very easily and gotten back on the road.
Well, what do you do with people who are living so close to paycheck and taking 10% out of their paycheck may not even be a reality for them?
You're absolutely right. And I get that because I've been there, right?
I've been there too.
Yep. So I always suggest that they do some kind of business on the side so that they can have extra income. And then when you have your own little business, and Marbeth, I know you know this, you get to do a lot of write-offs that you wouldn't have been able to do otherwise. And that allows you to keep more money in your pocket. I don't care if it's selling, you know, some kind of a cosmetic or if it's what it is, as long as you're making enough so that you can put a bit more into an emergency fund to protect yourself and your family. So sometimes we have to work more than we want to, and you do that by doing a little business on the side so that you can write off your cell phone, you can write off your printer, you can write off your computer if it needs repairs. You end up with write-offs that you wouldn't have otherwise if you only had a job. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you know, and I realized I don't know that I've written off my computers when they've broken down, and I've had to go out and get a new one. I don't think I've ever done that.
Absolutely. And you want to make sure that you do it by the end of the year so you can write it off in that year. That's what I did this past year. I went out and I bought some extra things that I hadn't, I didn't have the extra money at the time to buy. So I went out, I bought it, and then I wrote it off for last year.
Oh, that's so smart. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So, that's why they pay you the big bucks.
That's why they come to me, Marbeth. I love those kind of calls. Those what do I do now calls. I got one of those today. And those are awesome calls because I have 28 years of history in this, and I've got a pretty good handle on all the laws, and I know what you can do and what you can't do. And I know how to get around some of these challenges that we have.
It's great to know. Mm-hmm. Now so, I know who to call.
Yeah. So step five is long-term savings. Long-term savings. You know what the problem with that is? That, we go on a job and then we put money into a 401k, and that's the last thing on the list. The last thing. And it's those people that I see that are living paycheck to paycheck that are putting that money in the 401k and ramping up their credit cards. So if you think about it, you may or may not make anything on your 401k. I'm not a proponent of that, especially for people who don't have hardly any money. Take the money and pay your debt. Because even if they say they're going to support you in your 401k and add to it, it's only 3%. What percentage is your credit card? Take a look at that. If it's 18 to 22%, it's going to double every 3 years. So pay off your credit cards before your long-term savings.
And of course, you can negotiate with the credit card companies.
Yeah, you can. If you have cash to negotiate with, you have to have enough cash to do that. But you can always try. You can always try. But once you put that money into your 401k, you can't get it back out. There's no way. Because if you do, you're going to pay penalties if you're under 59 and a half, and you're going to pay taxes on it. So what's the point? And some people go, oh my gosh, I was so broke, I had to take the money out of my 401k, and now I have all these taxes to pay. It doesn't make any sense. So don't put it in there in the first place, all right? And the companies will try and get you to do that, and I'll tell you the secret to why. They do that because they have to have a certain percentage of employees in their company contributing to the 401k in order to keep it.
What are they getting out of it?
A tax write-off with that 3% that they put into their account.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it benefits the employers, but not the employees.
Not really. Mm-mm. And they tell you, oh yeah, we're gonna do a contribution for you. Well, what's 3% compared to what you are paying on your credit cards? You do the math. What would you do?
Yeah.
Does it make sense? And especially if you're living paycheck to paycheck or you're barely making it and you can't put any money in an emergency fund, then you're really hurting yourself by putting it into the 401k. So all you have to do is go to HR and say, I'm not contributing to this now. I'm going to pay off my own debt. So stop taking it out of my check. It's as simple as that. And maybe you could contribute later. Maybe not. We don't know if the market's even going to hold. So do you want to put your hard-earned dollars at risk? I don't know. Your choice.
Very, very good points. So how do you work with these five steps, Shirley?
Well, you know, you've got the five step, the skeleton of it. Now what you have to do is be consistent. And as you said, you need to commit to the process. So I've gotten people out of tremendous amounts of debts because I just give them a process to follow. And in fact, I talked to one of my clients. She called me today and said, you know, we've done everything you said to do. We don't have any more debt. And now my husband's retiring and we want to take all of his annuity money and roll it over and whatever else. But the point was, I was able to get to them early enough to tell them what to do so that they could do it. And they literally committed to the process. That's why I love what you said there about the workout. Because if you know what to do, and now you know the five steps so you never can forget them. If you know what to do, you have to commit to the process and believe that you can do it. That's the thing. You've got to believe that you can do it and not run out and blow a wad, as they like to say, 1 month just because you want a new TV. It doesn't work that way. You have to commit and pay everything off.
Uh-huh. Just like my workouts at the gym.
Right. Uh-huh. That's exactly right. That's
yeah. Exactly right. If you want those results, you really need to commit.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, but you don't want it to be an undue hardship either. So you really have to, I guess, shift your thought process so that you're ready for it and it feels right.
Well, think about this, Marbeth. So say you have five credit cards, all right? And they're all between 17 and 22% and they're costing you a lot of money and you can only pay the minimum, all right? Or maybe you're paying a little bit more on two of them, but not the rest. So what you do is you take the one with the lowest amount that you owe, and then you don't pay any more than the minimum on any other card, and then you take what you can and add it to the principal. So every month you're being charged the principal, which is what you originally charged on your card, and then the interest that they charge you on top of that. So if you start to make little bit more payment on one card, you'll find that it'll start to go down much faster. Then when you get that paid off, whatever you were paying on the first card, you add to the payment of the second card. And then you do that subsequently with every card and you'll pay them off. But you got to promise that you do a ceremony and a celebration and cut up the card that you just paid off so that you never use it again. And you, like I said, you only have two cards, one for personal and one for business if you happen to have one.
My downfall is I get airline miles and, you know, with American Airlines and I love to travel. Mm-hmm. And then I also have, when I do travel, then I use the Hilton card. So basically, I keep getting new cards from American Airlines. And so I start to get confused as to what's the business and what's the personal.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you are flying to an event of some kind for business, and all of mine are that. Did you hear that?
All of mine are too.
Okay, good. So then you put it on that card, only the event card. The personal you use only if you're going to go out shopping for clothes, right? Or cosmetics or something like that.
Right.
And even your meals, you always make sure to write on the back of your receipt who it is you had dinner with, because that's how they're going to get you. If you didn't write on the back of your receipt who you had dinner with, then they decide that that's not a write-off. And I think you can write off a third of your meal.
Very cool.
Yeah. So you just got to keep those cards separate no matter what. And if you, there's other cards where the points that you use for miles can also be used for hotel.
Right.
So I'll do that too, you know, because I'm going to Bali in October. So I fly a lot too. I know what you're saying. And I saw you in Florida in February. So
yes.
Yeah. So I hope that kind of helped a little bit.
Oh, I think it did. And we have a caller on the line. I think it's someone you know.
I do know him.
Are you ready for a caller?
I am, if you are.
I am. Harrison, come on the line.
Hi, Shalene. Hi, Marbeth. How you doing?
Hi, Harrison.
Hi, Harrison.
Hey, you girls having fun?
We are definitely having fun.
You must know it, or you wouldn't have broken in.
I said,
must know we're having fun, or you wouldn't be here. You want to come have some fun with us?
You bet. Okay. So very cool stuff. So I want to commend you on the process and the direction and the information. So good.
Oh, thank it's you. Awesome. Thank you. That means a lot coming from you.
Well, I'll tell you, she's really knowledgeable. I'm learning a lot.
So the thing is that, you know, you recognize what works and what doesn't. Everybody intuitively recognizes that or not. They don't always act on that situation, but they recognize it somewhere deep inside, and they say to themselves, well, I should be doing that, but, or something of that nature, you know. And, you know, they come into this place of, you know, where do we actually get money when we're in struggle mode or whatever the case may be. And we you talked a little bit about that, but what I do know about this in real great depth is that people have a lot of feelings and actions around the emotional charge around money. You know, they have, and what does that have to do with their financial abundance or lack of abundance? Can you kind of talk a little bit to that?
Oh,
great
that
question.
Yeah, thanks, Harrison. That's a really good question. I love that question. In fact, not many people ask that one. That emotional charge is huge because they get real depressed and real down. And that's a big thing that I was talking about earlier, about how it's your mental attitude that really makes a difference in whether this process will work at all. If you're hard on yourself and you know, sometimes we tend to make mistakes, or we think we deserve it. That's one of my favorites. I deserve it. So I'm going to go out and blow $60. Well, then you've got to pay for that, whatever that is that you thought you deserved at that time. So, you know, it's a matter of being in control of your thoughts. That's so huge. What were you going to say, Harrison?
Well, a successful person is a proactive person, you know. There's no accident. People are not accidentally poor or in poverty, nor are they accidentally rich. So, you know, we have to understand how that stuff works. So you know, successful people are proactive people, you know, and they have emotional charges like anybody else, but they have different emotional charges than poor people. So, you know, the connection is, what is the right information for each individual? And, you know, how is it that, you know, somebody can be emotionally angry and have a lot of money? And how is it that somebody can be emotionally angry and have no money? So, I mean, why, you know, if there's so much connection between, you know, the financial stuff, why do we get two such different results and still stay in the same vibrational frequency?
Well, I saw a lot of this when the housing market went down, and people were so upset, not only that they lost their house, but they felt like they had made a mistake. And a lot of times when they consistently get down on themselves, and they're literally beating themselves up, and they take themselves down further and further. And I try to tell them that there really is no mistake. They made no mistake at all. They just did a learning experience. That's all it was. And I think that's one of the hardest things, is to continually bolster them until they can stand on their own two feet and they see truly that it really wasn't a mistake. They just didn't know. They did the best that they could at that time, and they didn't have the knowledge of how to do it, how to think rich, or overcome that feeling of being poor. Once they start making those payments on those credit cards, they start to champion themselves and they feel a lot better. But it's really, Harrison, a good point that they have to bolster themselves up to get themselves to that point. And I strongly believe that a wealthy person hangs out with wealthy people. Okay, so, and poor people hang out with poor people, just like the people that were hanging out at the dumpster when I was standing there. I looked around and went, wow, here I am hanging out with the poor people. I got to get out of here, because you literally embody what it is that you want to be. So if you want to be wealthy, you've got to start, even if you have to pretend, hanging out with the wealthy people so that you can embody that energy. Does that make sense, Harrison?
Yep. Yes, it does. You know, what I'm also trying to sort of get to and decipher is that, you know, is cutting your spending, is that a prosperity consciousness, or cutting your situation where you have less to work with, is that a prosperity consciousness, or is that a or is that field of appreciation? How important is that field of appreciation with, you know, the cutting your spending and the ability to make money and all that?
Think. I'm going to try and answer you, and if not, you know, we'll give it another whirl.
Hey, Charlene, it's our time for break. Can you hold that? And we'll come back to it just right after the break. Have you been stuck, really stuck? I'm Marbeth Dunn with a very special opportunity only for listeners of Having It All Radio. If you'd like to step out of victimhood to become a co-creator of your own abundance and success, sign up now for my Flash of Insight consult at yourmiraclepower.com/insight, I-N-S-I-G-H-T. Not only will we work together one-on-one to release an issue that's been keeping you stuck, you will receive a special bonus, my signature Power of Joy audio program valued at $397. I've been there. I understand the hurt you're going through. Don't delay. Sign up now for your Flash of Insight consult, yourmiraclepower.com/insight.
Choosing to work with Marbeth Dunn was one of the smartest things I ever did. She has an intuitive gift that allows her to meet people where they are so that you can begin to peel away the layers of stuff that keep us from having that soulful and joyful journey that we want. I know in my personal and professional life, I experienced a new sense of well-being, and I show up differently. I've had successes in those areas that I don't think were possible before I met and worked with Marbeth. I also have a new confidence in myself, and that makes a world of difference.
You know what? I actually want to ask another question.
Go ahead.
Okay. You know, let's just say I'm getting two private clients a month. Okay, so I have two private clients that I'm pushing. I want to take that to seven in a short amount of time. What would be your advice?
Oh, well, one would be to be so grateful just for the two clients that you have, and really appreciate the fact that the universe did bring those two clients to you. Because as soon as you start to express and feel appreciation, for me personally, it turns everything around. And because between getting down on yourself if you don't have enough money and then not appreciating what you do have in life, it really makes a big difference. So that's the main thing, is that, you know, I do a gratitude practice every morning. I'm just so grateful for all the gifts that are brought to me every day, because I receive so many wonderful surprises. And I'll tell you, clients that just pop up out of nowhere, that's a pretty awesome thing. And so I wander my day thinking of how I can be grateful for just being able to see the trees, just being able to have food on the table, whatever it is, because whatever you don't have, when you receive it, even if you get that extra bit of money to pay off those credit cards, you got to be grateful for it.
So love,
beautiful.
Love improves your prosperity consciousness?
Love or gratefulness? What, Harrison?
Appreciation, love and appreciation improves your prosperity consciousness and your prosperity?
Well, that gets you into the forgiveness part. And, you know, there's love, peace, forgiveness, and gratefulness all kind of work together. You know, if you're angry, that's going to keep you in that place of poverty.
Resentful.
That's a big part of it. But, you know, just to let that go and be forgiving and understanding that it's just a lesson that you were meant to learn while you're here in Earth School makes a huge difference. And it lets you really look at yourself and how you see the whole process and reevaluate, because really we're only here just to learn our lessons. That's the whole point. And that's what I teach all the time in my spiritual courses, is that we're just here to learn the lessons. And so be grateful for the lesson, forgive whoever you're angry with, and then move on and you'll pull yourself out of it. That's all it takes.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. I allow myself to have $10 million this month.
Sounds good to me.
Thanks, Harrison.
Thanks, Harrison.
You're welcome.
Thank you. So then when we pray for money, how come it doesn't always come?
Well, there's a couple of reasons for that. You know, we're here to support others as well. And what I like to tell my community is that we lift our community as a whole. And it's not just about money. Because when we're doing what we love and we're really providing a service that can support others, and we care about how others are doing it, you know, that makes all the difference in the world. The money comes on its own. And yeah, it's nice to count the money, but when we change our perspective of how we look at it and we're doing what we really love, it makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it, Marbeth?
And I wonder, is it, yes, it does, but I'm wondering, is it having the money or is it what we can do with the money?
I think it's more about what we can do with the money.
Absolutely.
You know, we love to travel. I mean, I'm all about lifestyle. I absolutely love traveling. That's my thing. And if we can just support others in what it is that we do, and we can move them forward, and we're loving and giving and caring, then the money comes to us anyway. But there's another reason why we can pray for money and not get it. You want to know what it is?
Of course.
Okay. Well, we say we want it. And I addressed this a bit earlier. We'll say, I need money. It's not
that. That'll totally keep it away.
That totally keeps it away. That's what I'm saying. It's how we phrase our words. It's how we think about it. And so if we're thinking that we want money, we need money, we have to have money to pay our bills, and yet we walk around and say we're broke or we don't have enough to go do whatever it is that we want to do, then we've got conflicting messages out there. So if I send anything out to your listeners with regard to this whole conversation, it's think about what you say. And then the other thing is, Wayne Dyer, one of my dearest friends, I lived over in Maui for 5 years, said, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. So look at what you're doing, how you're saying it, how you're involving other people, and it'll make a difference if you turn it into a positive way of thinking, a loving way of thinking, where you create peace instead of pain. And that's one of my favorite sayings. Do you want peace or do you want pain? Think about that before you even start to say something.
I agree. And one of my favorites is, would you rather be right or would you rather be happy?
Oh, that's a good one too. You know,
yeah.
That's a really good one. But sometimes right does make us happy. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, that's why I say peace or pain. And I just taught that 2 weeks ago in my course that I did, the Ascended Masters course, that no matter what it is or what we say or what we do, we have to just think before we say it, Do I want peace or do I want pain? How do I want to look at this? Do I want to go after this person because they wronged me? Or do I want to look at how I got myself into that situation in the first place and not do it again? So the same thing goes for money. Okay, peace or pain, it's going to cost you. If you want to sue somebody, you're going to lose a lot of money and it's going to be a lot of pain, right?
Absolutely.
Right. So, but if you can let it go, and I've had a situation just recent like this, I had to decide peace or pain. Was I going to go into court and deal with that for a year and chase bad energy after bad? Or was I going to look the other way, chalk it up as a learning experience and move on? I chose to move on. And you could say,
very smart, because you could have gone to court and
easily
you could have been so wrapped up in the whole scenario, all of the drama, so easy to get caught up with that drama. And I've noticed that with my own physical health, if something comes up and I, you know, have a health issue, if I focus on it, it blows up into something I don't want. Whereas if I turn my attention away from it, I remember that I'm a spiritual being, that I am connected with Source, God, the universe, and that's who I am, you know, this beautiful spiritual being. I'm not this body. Then the physical totally improves, you know, just because of where I put my attention. I'm sure that with finances, it probably does the same thing. Is that not true?
Right. And if you're having a hard time with something, and that's a great example, Marbeth, you know, if you're having a hard time with someone, usually it's a someone when it's around money. Have you ever noticed that?
Oh, yeah.
It's always a someone. So if you can just sit quietly and close your eyes and envision them surrounded by white light and say, I know you're doing the best you can in this moment, and I forgive you for that. And then you just have to let it go and let the universe take care of it. You'll find that it makes all the difference in the world, a huge amount of difference. And then you don't have this angst. Every time you come around them, you've let the universe take care of it. But let me tell you, if you take it back and you take action, that's your own free will, and then you're in for it.
Oh, you're totally in for it.
5 years down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, totally. So I want to remind everyone to go to Shirlene Reeves' show page on havingitallradio.com. Because this time, this show has gone so fast. They always do, but this is exceptionally fast. And I want you to be able to check out her free gifts. She has her way of contacting her on social media. You can learn all about Shirlene. And I know you have a couple of really great gifts. You want to tell us about them?
Well, if they'd like to read more about the 5 steps to financial freedom, you can go to my website at maximizeyourwealthnow.com.
And the page on Having It All Radio, because it's all there.
Okay, great. You can go right there where Marbeth said. And you can download my 5 steps to financial freedom. And that's a guide. And it'll take you each step, and then you'll have something to follow in order to pull yourself out of the difficulty that you might be experiencing. Or if you aren't experiencing a lot of difficulty, you'll learn some things for where to save your money that's safe, what to do instead of putting your money in a 401k, and how to double your money, which would be a pretty cool thing, right?
Always. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's very cool. And then I also want to let everyone know that next week on Having It All, we have Richard Gordon, the founder of Quantum Touch, one of my mentors. I've been following him for a very long time. I won't say how long, since his first book, Polarity Therapy. Which was, I think, in the 70s. So yeah, he's great. I have interviewed him before, and I'm very excited to have him on the show. He just wrote a new book, The Secret Nature of Matter, which is fascinating. So do tune in next week to Having It All when we have Richard Gordon. So now I was wondering, Charlene, if you have a few words of wisdom, last words of wisdom. Most of the words tonight have been extremely wise.
Well, the only thing I can say is just have faith in yourself. Know that if you set yourself on a course, you can do it. You can do it no matter what, because we all have this phenomenal power within us. And if we make a decision that benefits more than just ourselves, we will always rise to the top. And I want to thank you, Marbeth, for having me on the show. I've really enjoyed being with you, as always.
Well, I love being with you. I mean, this is the Mutual Admiration Society here. And we never got to hear about these 8 students who completed your Art of Selling with Heart.
I'll tell you really quickly. About every other month, I take on 10 new students in, as you said, the Art of Selling with Heart. And what they do is they learn how to compel their clients to call them instead of them chasing their clients. And 8 of them went on, and I say 8 because one was in New Zealand and the time wasn't right. And then another was ill and couldn't move forward. But I have a 90-day sales boot camp after we do the 2-day intensive on Zoom. And over the course of just 10 weeks, these 8 people made $301,000 together. Don't you think they were happy about that?
Oh, I think they were probably pretty ecstatic.
Many of them paid off their credit cards.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
because it's all about building relationship. And as I said, if you really have faith in yourself and you know that your passion is to do whatever you want to do, you will wholeheartedly succeed.
Well, let's hear it for passion. Yeah, this has been a lot of fun. I have totally enjoyed it. I've learned a lot, and we have 1 minute left. Mm. What can we do with 1 minute? Oh, no. Well, I think we learned a lot tonight, you know, and a lot of this we know, you know, just always a reminder to be grateful and to, you know, I always find that you can ask spirit for a different way of seeing things when you're upset, you know, that different perception. Because we don't need to do it all ourselves. We always have divine helpers. So I think that's an element that we can always add in. You know, how can I see this differently? How can I be more peaceful? How can I choose peace when I'm really angry? But thank you, everybody. This has just been so wonderful. And I look forward to seeing you next week with Richard Gordon on Having It All Radio. HavingItAllRadio.com. Do check out our show page and see all of our previous podcasts and interviews. And it's all a lot of fun and fascinating people. You're going to love it.
Join Marbeth next week on Having It All. Visit havingitallradio.com to learn more about Marbeth Dunn and her special guests. And be sure to download your free report.